राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनाचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिलो प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग Because I looked at 19, that's what we had done. So there's an error. We did 18 yesterday. Today's verse is 19. So if you can repeat, those of you who have electronic versions of the verse can repeat. Well, the verse is not very difficult, I'm sure you can follow. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam canto 4 chapter 31 text 19 दयाय सर्वभूतेषु संतुष्ट्या येन केन वा सर्वेन्द्रियोपशान्त्या च तुष्यति आशु जनार्दनः. I'll read word by word and then we'll recite the verse again, then easier to recite. Dayaya, by showing mercy, sarva bhuteshu, to all living entities, santushtya, by being satisfied, yena kena va, somehow or other, sarva indriya, all the senses, upashantya, by controlling, cha, also, tushyati, becomes satisfied, ashu, very soon, janardanaha, the Lord of all the living entities, dayaya sarva bhuteshu, santushtya yena kena va, sarvendriyopashantya cha, tushyati ashu janardanaha, dayaya sarva bhuteshu, santushtya yena kena va, sarvendriyopashantya cha, tushyati ashu janardanaha. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu, santushtya yena kena va, sarvendriyopashantya cha, tushyati ashu janardanaha. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu, santushtya yena kena va, sarvendriyopashantya cha, tushyati ashu janardanaha. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu, santushtya yena kena va, sarvendriyopashantya cha, tushyati ashu janardanaha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Well, I didn't want to insult your memory power. Would you like to repeat? Okay. By showing mercy to all living entities, being satisfied somehow or other, and controlling the senses from sense enjoyment, one can very quickly satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana. Purport. These are some of the ways in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be satisfied by a devotee. The first item mentioned is Dayaya Sarva Bhuteshu, showing mercy to all conditioned souls. The best way to show mercy is to spread Krishna consciousness. The entire world is suffering for want of this knowledge. People should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of everything. Knowing this, everyone should directly engage in his devotional service. Those who are actually learned, advanced in spiritual understanding, should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world so that people may take to it and make their lives successful. The word sarvabhuteshu is significant because it applies not only to human beings but to all living entities appearing in the 8,400,000 species of life. The devotee can do good not only to humanity but to all living entities as well. Everyone can benefit spiritually by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna is sounded, even the trees, animals and insects benefit. Thus, when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly, he actually shows mercy to all living entities. To spread the Krishna consciousness movement throughout the world, the devotee should be satisfied in all conditions. नारायण परा सर्वे न कुतश्च न बिभ्यति सर्गापवर्ग नरकेषु अपितुल्यार्थदर्शिनः श्रीमद्भागवतम् 6th canto 17th chapter 28th verse. It does not matter to the pure devotee if he has to go to hell to preach. The Supreme Lord lives in the heart of a hog, although the Lord is in Vaikuntha. Even while preaching in hell, a pure devotee remains a pure devotee by his constant association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To attain this state, one has to control his senses. The senses are automatically controlled when one's mind is engaged in the service of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse, for those who like little technical things, this verse is an Abhideya verse. Previous verses were all Sambandha verses, where Krishna is the origin of everything, how everything emanates from Krishna, how everything is overseen by Krishna, and things should be connected back to Krishna. Those are Sambandha Gyan verses. This is an Abhideya Gyan verse. It talks about how to. The goal of human life is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, Narad Muni gives us a path of how to accomplish that. So there are a few things. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu, being compassionate to all living entities. Santushtya yena kenava, somehow or the other become satisfied or be satisfied. Sarva indriya upashantya, control or make all the senses controlled. And by these three he says tushyati ashu janardanaha. So these are three categories of things, three categories or three areas of attention. There are many spiritualists or spiritual paths that focus on one or the other, but not all three. Some yogis are very busy in just calming their senses down, which in one sense is good because by that they do less damage to society, right? It said, if you cannot do something good, at least don't do something bad. So if they control their senses, then it's nice. They don't cause havoc, they don't cause disturbance to society. There are some who take the principle of santushtya yena kena va without God-centered ideologies. Be satisfied. So they are almost like passivists. Whatever happens, it's all right, it's all right. They try to be satisfied. So they have no aspirations. So many people confuse spiritual life with this kind of satisfactory goals. Oh, you don't have any aspirations in life? Oh, that's so bad. But that's not spiritualism, as spirituality, actually. And another one is dayaya sarva bhuteshu. Most people don't understand what is daya, compassion. The best of philanthropists, the best of charitable persons, the highest that they can come to is being compassionate at the level of the body, maybe at the level of the mind. But that is not real compassion. We have heard from Prabhupada that saving the dress of a drowning man is not saving actually. We have to save the person, the soul. So Narada Muni is telling us that when these three have a actual purpose, the purpose is santushyati janardana, to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to please Krishna, then somehow these three have very quickly, they bring about a great sense of accomplishment per se. So first of all, Prabhupada focuses on dayaya sarvabhuteshu. Dayaya means mercy, being merciful to other living entities. There are different levels of mercy. First level of mercy, which most people like, or at least can respond to, is non-violence, or honoring another living entity's right to life. The great vegetarian movements, the non-violence movement of Gandhi, or the Buddhist philosophy of non-violence, ahimsa, they're very attractive. Because most conditioned souls can only see compassion at the bodily level. They cannot see how compassion at the soul level, when it is delivered, any value to it. Therefore, the Hare Krishnas are often asked the question, what kind of... we see that you chant Hare Krishna, we see that you go out on the streets and all that. What kind of charitable work do you do? Oh, this is our charitable work. We chant Hare Krishna for the benefit of others. Yeah, that's all right, but what do you do for people? Do you give out food to the hungry? Do you build hospitals? Do you give out clothing? What do you do? No, we chant Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's all right, but what do you do for the people? So at best they say dayaya at the level of the body. So there was one time we had an argument, some young Indian woman who was graduating from college, and of all, mostly Indian people, they take up a line of education either that is related to medicine or to engineering. Nowadays it's computer science. There isn't a fourth line of vocation for them. It doesn't exist. Like if they say, I became a teacher, then it's like, whoa, that was a failure, man. Somehow this young woman, she joined the Democratic Party. She took political science as her major and joined the Democratic Party. I'm sure she was thrown out of India and her family rejected her. So her argument was that her goal in life was to do something for children. There are so many children and nobody takes care of these children. So in my life, my success is if I can help one child have a better life, then mission accomplished. So naturally, we went into this argument as to what does help to a child mean. So her list was proper food, good clothes. There's so much shopping that they can do. They can go to college. They can get educated, find a job. And I was very tempted to say, and become just like you. But I wouldn't say something like that. So I said, what is the purpose of all of this? What is the guarantee that after you've given them education, money to spend, shopping, and all these goals of life, what you have done is you've encouraged them to be distracted from what is human life meant for? So we went back and forth, and naturally neither of us was willing to budge from our position. So we had to end the conversation this way. So we agreed to disagree. But we disagreed this way. We said, well, we wish you the very best. That whatever you're trying to do in life, May you achieve that. The only difference in what you're trying to do and what Srila Prabhupada has mandated for us to do is very simple. You're trying to make someone's life in prison better, and we are trying to get them released from prison. So that's what we are both of us have good intentions. We'd like people to be free from prison. You want them to have TV and high-speed internet inside the prison. That's the difference. You may give the best of facilities, but they're still in prison. That's where we parted ways. So dayaya is so commonly misunderstood as to what is mercy. And Prabhupada is explaining, mercy means to spread Krishna consciousness. Now the word spread, the phrase spread Krishna consciousness has different meanings for different people. The context Prabhupada is talking about here is the entire world is suffering for want of this knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Knowing this, everyone should directly engage in his devotional service. So that spreading of Krishna consciousness, that knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme, is the source of everything, and we are wandering here and there, trying to become happy, pursuing happiness, but it's eluding us. Material happiness eludes us. Like we've discussed this many times, that happiness in the material world is only a promise in the future. Not even a promise. It's an idea for the future. That you do something today, you'll become happy tomorrow. A little pain today is worth the gain that you might see tomorrow. So that kind of promise on the material realm makes people hopeful. Right? Without hope, what would people work for? If actually they were told, hey, this is not the case, there isn't any happiness, what you're doing is just misery and suffering, what to look forward to? People actually look forward to waking up, dressing up, shopping. Why was mad rush yesterday? What is the reason for that mad rush? They are hopeful that they can get the best bang for their buck. And for that, they're called what? Door busters, sales. Door busters. And we were discussing at breakfast or something, when the doors open, people throng into the stores. They don't know what they want to buy. They have a list. They don't know which aisle to go into. They're moving with their shopping carts. Bang, bang, they're running here. They want that TV that was advertised at, you know, whatever, 50%. All their good qualities vanish. Earlier, even if they would sneeze, they would say, excuse me. Now they don't care. They actually hurt each other. People die. People die in stampedes in stores just to get that deal. Because there is a promise. The promise is, this is Black Friday. You will get the best deal. Be there early. In fact, they're even up before the devotees. One time of the year, that's all. Even the devotees look at the shoppers and say, Hare Prabhu, you're so austere, you're up so early. They're up so early just for that deal. But there's no meaning in it. It's no meaning. So this always this pursuit, wanting to become happy, wanting to become happy, this way or that way. And they're so confused. They don't know which store to go. I want that electronic, I also want the clothes. What is this? They don't get anywhere. we'll come back to this when it comes to santushtya, sarvendriya, upashantya. I'm highly debating whether to say something or not, but then Prabhupada says, sarvabhuteshu. Sarvabhuteshu means all living entities. Now, there is no way any of us is going to come in contact with all living entities. We don't have that reach. We may have that aspiration. And all we can be told is, in your dreams, Prabhu. Even in our dream, we cannot fathom what meeting sarvabhuteshu means. But the context is sarvabhuteshu means, for us, whoever we meet. Yaridake tarekahai Krishna upadesha. Whoever we meet, for us, that is sarvabhuteshu. So we're going to go out today for MSF. We're going to bear the cold and be out there chanting, distributing books, meeting people, or as we've been told, making conscious connections. Sarvabhuteshu. We can say Haribol to the dogs, the ripple that might be out there. No jokes, I'm serious. People of all varieties. Just to say Hare Krishna to them, even if they take a book or not take a book. It would be nice if they do. But that they can hear the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. So that is important. And Prabhupada wants, in Narada Muni wants, and Prabhupada definitely wants, that they should, people all over the world, should take to it. It is devotional service and make their lives successful. This is success. To come in contact with Krishna. To develop a relationship with Krishna. This is success. Anything else that is called success is a failure. According to Rishabhdev, he is even heavier. Parabhava stavad abodajata yavanna jigyasata atmatattvam. If a person doesn't inquire about atmatattva, the reality or existence of the soul, is considered defeated. Even if he may be very successful in from a worldly perspective, it doesn't matter. Then, santushtya ja, santushtya yena kena va. This is a very important phrase. This word yena kena va phrase means somehow or the other. So many people ask, how to become satisfied? So the answer is not, here, take this blue pill and you'll become satisfied. It says yena kena va. Figure it out. Somehow or the other, be satisfied. For different persons, it's different things. But the bottom line is, be satisfied. So the explanation is yena kena va. Somehow or the other. Like, there's another phrase, Rupa Goswami says, to remember Krishna, yena kena va. Somehow or the other, remember Krishna. That means it's important. It is so important, it doesn't matter how you get to it. But remember Krishna. It doesn't matter how you satisfy, how you get there, be satisfied. Now, be satisfied, some people have the idea of meeting the demands of the senses to become satisfied. So that is not possible because Krishna says, Dushpurena Analena Cha. The senses can never be satisfied. So that's not the track to say, well, I'll meet the demands of my senses. It's not possible because the senses cannot be satisfied. There must be another way. Another way is that unless one is looking inwards, one cannot be satisfied. As long as one's attention is outwardly, one cannot be satisfied. The satisfaction within is when one looks to Krishna for one's relationship. Then one will be satisfied. That I have Krishna, I don't want anything else. Not every one of us has that realization, that I have Krishna, I don't want anything else. But the satisfaction is, I have Krishna, or the satisfaction for the practicing devotee is, if I get Krishna, I don't want anything else. So let me be busy at trying to get Krishna. The very fact, the nature of senses and sense objects is such that as soon as the senses come in contact with sense objects, the senses get stimulated. The senses get agitated. This is how senses, they get their input. It's called stimulus. Contact, whoa. There's a sense object. So the senses become all agitated. And by nature, the senses will say, more. I want more. So in this purport, Prabhupada says, the senses are automatically controlled when one's mind is engaged in the service of the Lord. So it actually goes logically. If the mind is engaged in the service of the Lord, the senses are controlled. When the senses are controlled, one will become pure. When one becomes pure, they will be spreading Krishna consciousness, because the purity is effusive. Whoever comes in contact with it benefits from it. So the whole idea of dayaya sarvabhuteshu can begin with controlling one's senses. And and being satisfied. That's the first principle for a devotee to learn. Be satisfied. How? However. Yena kena va. Be satisfied. If Krishna gives this today, be satisfied. If Krishna gave that tomorrow, be satisfied. If Krishna took something, be satisfied. But be satisfied. That's the mantra. That's the motto. On the other side, you know, the materialists have tried different things, and their motto is, you can't get no satisfaction. It's not possible. You can't get it. Only devotees can get santushtya. From Bhagavad Gita perspective, satisfaction is a state of consciousness in the mode of goodness. Right? Brahmanas, qualities of Brahmana is satisfaction. So we cannot expect to live a life of ignorance of passion and say, Prabhu, I'm trying, I cannot be satisfied. My dear Krishna, I'm trying, I cannot be satisfied. It's not possible. Satisfaction is not a feature of passion and ignorance. Satisfaction is a feature of goodness. From that's where it begins. So unless one lives a life of goodness, cultivates a life of quality of goodness, one will not be satisfied how much ever they try. So our program is to move from ignorance and to passion, from passion to goodness. For some people, we recommend passion. Right? If you ever get the, I don't know if I should call it honor or punishment, of training some devotees. Punishment. That's the popular experience nowadays. Punishment. If you ever get the punishment of training some devotees, those devotees who are in the mode of ignorance, I shouldn't say those devotees were in the, those sadhakas or the aspirants or prabhus or whatever, those entities are in the mode of ignorance and just wouldn't do anything. If you give them message that is transcendental or even goodness, they will not move from that position. So you have to give them passion a little bit. Do something. Go out there. Get something. Earn something. Oh, that's a step forward. It always helps. Because passion is better than ignorance. Because in ignorance one doesn't do anything. Whatever. Like that. So a little passion is important to say, go, make this situation better, get that situation. So at least they will move from that position. And from there you help them to get into goodness. I mean, it's not that for everyone it works like that, but in many cases it works like that. But the idea is, unless one comes to goodness, one cannot be satisfied. Because passion, by nature, acts against satisfaction. Right? That's the whole idea of being passionate. Generally, we say passionate means doing things quickly, not like that. Passion means highly motivated for sense gratification. That is passion. Goodness means highly motivated for satisfaction, for happiness, for knowledge. So one who is passionate cannot be satisfied. I mean, these two don't go together. So our training should be to become or to come to mode of goodness. Then one can aspire to be satisfied. If one is satisfied, then one has the time, energy, space, contemplation to help someone else. Otherwise, one is only thinking about oneself. He doesn't have time to think about someone else. Prabhu, dayaya sarvabhuteshu. Forget about it. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. You get the idea? So unless one moves to goodness, these things are very hazy principles. Or they look good in Bhagavatam, but they have no place in life. Passion is a very, very debilitating quality. That it makes a person so self-absorbed that they cannot look at anyone else. They cannot consider the presence of other living beings around them. This is passion. Self completely absorbed in themselves. And that absorption in themselves manifests that they will exploit others. They will abuse others. They will neglect others. Why? Because they're only thinking about themselves. So what to speak of dayaya? It's not possible. So first step, I'm repeating this again and again. First step is to move from the condition we are in towards at least the mode of goodness lifestyle. Now, as practicing devotees, we don't have to figure out what is the mode of goodness lifestyle look like. If we just follow Prabhupada's plan for us, Prabhupada's program, then we automatically transcend goodness. And we are situated in the beginnings of transcendental life. So a materialist and a spiritualist, a devotee, both are hopeful. And both are hopeful for something that seems far-fetched. But a devotee will succeed and a materialist will not. Because the materialist's hope is actually hopeless. And a devotee's hope is actually hopeful. Because one can get Krishna a lot easier than complete satisfaction and sense gratification. Right? Even the beginnings of something in relation to Krishna, we are told, we become satisfied. Kleshagni Shubhada. So those are some thoughts. Please add something. Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
Having to deal with a mind and body that's suited for exploiting the material energy.
Right.
So my experience of the Yanakanabha principle, I was wondering maybe some understanding about this. It seems like when I go through those periods, then I have to be like more focused in on like just deepening my spirit of just wanting to sacrifice and putting, you know, the goal of life for, you know, love or service to the spiritual master and to devotees. Like, okay, now I have to really like deepen my spirit of sacrifice and just, and then that helps a lot. And I was kind of wondering, maybe you can expand upon that. That's been my personal experience.
Sure.
When we use the word satisfied, I'm very sure the picture that we get in our mind is that's it, like passive, really not. No, that's the wrong idea of satisfied. Satisfied really means not looking towards sense gratification, but full attention is on working for Krishna 100%. That is called satisfied. It's not a passive state, you know, like floating like a feather in the air by Prabhu, no, I'm just satisfied. That's not sad. That's a neutral state of satisfaction. You look at Narada Muni's life, you look at Srila Prabhupada's life. Can anyone say that they were not satisfied? No, they were satisfied, completely satisfied. They don't need anything else, but very active for Krishna. A dissatisfied person who's active will work very hard to search for that satisfaction. A devotee already is satisfied. They're full. They don't look for anything else. A jnani or yogi's sense of satisfaction is it brings them to neutrality. Neutrality is, I withdraw my senses. That's it. Because if I open any one of the senses, then I'll be dissatisfied again. So let me just not. So their sense of satisfaction is a neutrality state. The devotee is a very actively satisfied. So that has the room for, like you're expressing, increased sense of sacrifice, or for different persons it could be different things that move them forward. A quality of satisfaction, how to know? How to know whether I'm satisfied or not? Very simple rule of thumb is, what do we do now that we are satisfied? Some people enjoy that satisfaction. This is sattvika baddhati, bound by the happiness in that mode of goodness. Some people carefully guard it, they're worried, I'm satisfied, I hope I don't lose it, I hope I don't lose it. And some actually are impelled towards strengthening the fire of Krishna consciousness because they're satisfied. That is the real quality of satisfaction, that it is progressive, it makes us progressive in our Krishna consciousness. We have room to consider other things. A person who is not satisfied doesn't have room to think about other things. It's just busy. Is that right?
Consciousness, but being kind of like stuck in a fork in a road type of experience.
Okay.
Where, you know, now you have to make a decision. You were at a place where you didn't have to make that, but now you're at a place where it's like now enjoyment or go for Krishna, but in a deeper sort of way. And you're dealing with a nature that's like enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. But you know the path is of, I'm using the word sacrifice, but that kind of idea. And you get kind of like stuck sometimes, and Yanakena somehow or other
Right. Choose
that path.
And for different persons, that somehow or the other is different. And then there is dissatisfaction at different levels, right? Whoa. When Krishna says that the lust is hiding in the senses, in the mind, and the intelligence, it means at very subtle levels there is dissatisfaction. At the said level of the senses and the gross level, that one may be very easily satisfied. Easily or relatively easily satisfied. Some may not be. Right? Then it's the level of the mind. Level of the intelligence. So said differently is, as devotees or practicing devotees, our habits or behaviors, they change fairly quickly. or relatively quickly. But then the layer below that is the contemplations, the desires, the dissatisfaction with this situation, that situation. It's at the level deeper. That takes a little longer. Below that is the lust at the level of intelligence, meaning the very core of our value system. As to what will make me happy, when that is challenged, or unless that is satisfied, one is not fully satisfied. So I'm not saying in your case that's the case, I don't know, but I'm generally speaking that satisfaction has deeper layers to it. Someone else, Jitendra Prabhu, Ankit, Mother Kirti, online? Okay, online can wait. Jitendra Prabhu?
I concisely remember two phrases that kind of complete the equation of passion and satisfaction.
You have to speak louder because we're competing with airspace for Krishna. So.
Oh, sorry. Have you heard the expression hankering and lamenting? Hankering for what they don't have and lamenting for what they've lost. That was right. Concisely resonated in my mind about, you know.
The best way to deal with that hankering is given in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9. Krishna says, yoga kshemam vahamyaham. The Krishna takes care of whatever we are hankering for and whatever we don't have to lament for, he preserves everything. Ankit?
Spiritual service and desire.
Satisfaction and spiritual desire.
And service. Satisfaction.
How to feel satisfied in one's service?
And for spiritual desire also. Like,
satisfaction and spiritual desire. Is there any limit to desire? Spiritual desire? No. I'm not sure I understand. I mean, I understand the words. I'm not sure I'm understanding the, I guess, the context or picture of the question. Words, I got it. Question, I didn't get. Suppose I have a desire. I want to be the preacher that whole of Chicago becomes Krishna conscious. Like that?
Can you first talk about...
Can you speak into the mic first?
Can you first talk about the satisfaction in service, I mean?
Satisfaction in service.
I mean, how to get satisfied or whether that... if we are doing some service, like how to... understand or get the feeling that we are even satisfied with that or not, or we want something else?
Well, the very fact that if we want something else means we are not satisfied. Satisfaction is not a mental adjustment. I should be satisfied. Although that's a good thing if we tell ourselves, you should be satisfied, Prabhu. That's a good thing. But it's not an adjustment per se. How do I know I'm being satisfied? Well, it's the question is, how do I know I'm being satisfied when I'm eating?
Actually, once you told me that, like, whatever service we get, we must be satisfied with that.
That is correct.
So, I'm not able to,
You're not able to be satisfied?
No. I'm not able to, reconcile these two points.
What is the other point? I'll tell you something. I've had very little sleep. So, please bear with me. So... at the same time have desires. What would we do if we didn't have Jai Jagannath Prabhu? You and I would not be able to communicate. Sorry, as soon as I'm lack of sleep, only I think I'm funny.
Actually, I'm not able to communicate properly.
Why? We have the same problem. begins with a material conception of what is service and what is happiness. Because we are materially conditioned, we are very accustomed to looking at externalities of things. That's one. Second, we have the tendency of measuring everything in quantity. Very rarely do we think of quality. It's mostly quantity. Quantity is like this. They distributed 10 books, I distributed one book, they are better than I am. They have this much service, I have this much service, they are better than I am. This is even okay, but I have this much service, they have that much service, I am better than them. Whatever. So we have a sense of quantity, externalities, and that's what we think is service. When on the other hand, actually, service is not just the movement of hands and legs. Service is a principle, a deeper affective, you want affective? Emotional, affective feature that connects two people. However, whatever one does, if it connects to someone, that's a service. Right? So our whole idea of serving is to connect to Krishna, is to connect to Guru, connect to the devotee who gave us that service. If we are focused on connecting, then it doesn't matter, this big or this small. For example, if our spiritual master, I'm generalizing, our spiritual master came, said, get me a glass of water. And we got a glass of water. And if we are genuinely happily doing that, that connection is so satisfying than anything else. So service is not about quantity only or per se. It is the connection. When that connection is there, then it can be this quantity, this situation, this way, that way, it doesn't matter. That's one feature of it. The second feature is, because that connection is there, the aspiration to deepen that connection increases. That's the hankering or aspiring. To not necessarily do more, but feel a deeper connection.
Leads to further desire.
So that can lead to quantity. Quality can lead to quantity, sure. But it's the connection. Rupa Goswami describes that when we talk of bhakti, we're talking of three aspects. Bhagavan, bhakta, and bhakti. So our service means we have something to do for Krishna, for his satisfaction. That's the connection. It's not this or that. Someone does pujari service, someone does cleaning service, someone does cooking service, someone does administrating, managing service, someone does preaching service, whatever it is. What Krishna is looking at is, are you connecting or not? That's what we're looking for. So the satisfaction is in the connection, not in the external manifestation of something. Does that help? Okay. There was one more hand. Electronic question. Anyone, live persons here, have something to add? Acharya Nishtha, Prabhu?
Yeah, I had a question, Prabhu, on the distinction of the boundary between motive goodness and transcendence.
Because the boundary between goodness and transcendence.
Yeah, like this verse being satisfied somehow or other. It seems contextually in a devotional frame.
Right.
Showing compassion by spreading Krishna consciousness, controlling the senses and being. So you are kind of glorifying the position of the mode of goodness to achieve that. But I was curious because it seems that satisfaction in the mode of goodness is kind of illusory, or it's not actually satisfying. In other words, it's kind of the impression is satisfaction, but the transcendental platform. So how do we move in that direction?
Well, there is just like there is happiness in the mode of ignorance, happiness in the mode of passion, happiness in the mode of goodness. We know that happiness in the mode of goodness is far better than happiness in the other two. Because in happiness in the mode of goodness, all the senses are illumined. One experiences knowledge, and however, they're bound by that knowledge and the sense of happiness. But goodness is very close to transcendence. It's the window into transcendence. My discussion was not a glorification of goodness. My discussion was, the more important point was, if we are living a lifestyle of passion and ignorance, either at the gross or subtle level, and thinking that satisfaction is elusive, we shouldn't be surprised. That was the point. It was really not about goodness or satisfaction and goodness per se. I'll say it differently. What I was trying to get at is that we need to really honestly look within and ask and check what is happening, whether there is influences of passion and ignorance. And then we shouldn't be surprised that, hey, I'm not feeling satisfied. That was the point. Satisfaction in transcendence really means satisfaction of Krishna. Bhajaniya parama purusha sukhamatra swasukhatvam. This is Jiva Goswami saying. If you just focus on satisfying Krishna, in that is your own satisfaction. You don't have to look for it separately. That is transcendental satisfaction. To come to that stage, one has to pass through goodness. That means calming down hankering and lamentation and living purely, cleanly, clean. That's the doorway into transcendence. So it's not elusive, it's not eternal in that sense. It's not elusive. It's not elusive. Happiness and goodness is an experience. It's just that it's not pure because there are influences of goodness, passion and ignorance. The moment it is pure goodness, it's called transcendental.
Just when I think of the mode of goodness, I don't really think of Krishna consciousness. Maybe that's a misunderstanding I have.
You're nodding your head that that's a misunderstanding? Yeah. Why goodness is not... Prabhupada said cleanliness is next to godliness. Next to, but definitely passion and ignorance are not. Even if we get to goodness, the experience is fantastic. Yes, we are asked to transcend it because it's for the purpose of Krishna. That's what makes it transcendental. Yes, we are not to aspire for goodness, we are to aspire for transcendental. But we cannot get to transcendental without goodness being the basis. Like regulative principles. Regulative principles in and of themselves are not transcendental. Varnashram in and of itself is not transcendental. But why are they so important? They are the framework on which Krishna consciousness can be executed. Like that. That's goodness. Everyone knows their duties, everyone knows their natures, and they're serving accordingly. We're following regulative principles. These are not spiritual principles, but they're religious. They're on the goodness platform. We get up and take a shower every morning. The transcendental aspect of it is, I'm showering so I can serve Krishna. I want to be clean so I can serve Krishna. Like that. Okay. 8:45. Will the online person be very upset if we didn't answer the question? Okay. So if they're upset, we can say Mother Kirtida said they wouldn't be upset. So I'm saved from that. You have a question? You have an announcement. I haven't ended class yet. Okay, now I'll end the class. Mother Kirtida has an announcement about MSF.
So, for our monthly Sankirtan festival, if everyone can be in the lobby by 10:15 in the morning, because we're going to leave for the train at 10:30, and in the past months, that 10:30 has meant 10:45-ish, because somehow it takes us forever to get out the door, but today, we're really going to leave at 10:30. So if you're not in the lobby at 10:30, that means that we're going to leave without you, which means you're going to miss out on the Harinam on the train, which is really ecstatic. And so there's a schedule, and it's going to be posted in the lobby, and it's also going to be posted on the wall here and there. And also, it's going to be cold today. So please don't feel like you have to wear dhoti or sari. You can wear regular outside clothes so that you can stay warm, because warmth is really important, because if you're not warm, you won't be able to be peaceful. So, and there's a very inspiring quote. I encourage everyone to read it. That'll be posted up on the schedule. It'll inspire you to take part.
The message is, be warm, yena kena va.
Thank you.
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāi, Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jāi.